Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
At whatever time it is, we acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the General Council meeting will be recorded and the audio will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if any foresee a potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Hull?
The item in question being the Code of Conduct, Mr. Mayor.
I think what we'll do is ask the question again once we go into confidence and we'll see how many people put their hand up then. In terms of the items that aren't currently marked confidential, any others? No? We'll keep going. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes for the last General Council meeting? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Would someone like to move that the reports be noted? Moved Councillor Byram, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. That brings us to the playground framework item, and everyone seems in agreement that it would be useful to bring it back to the December meeting. So there's a recommended deferral. Would someone like to move? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. That brings us to deputations, and I'd be pleased to invite the principal of Woodin Primary School to come forward and give us a 5-minute presentation. I suppose in relation to parking issues at and around Woodin Primary. So, Ms. Karen Gunton, welcome. And someone will show you how to use the microphone. You've got a couple of people.
Is that ready?
You've got someone, a couple of accompanying people. Okay, that's fine. So we've got.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
You sure?
Yes.
We'll just sort that out. So I recognise Mr. Freeman as well. Mr. Steve Freeman, isn't it?
It is.
Yep. And who else have we got here?
I'm Karen Gunton.
Yes, Karen, and...
I'm Kim Saad.
And Kim Saad as well. So, but Karen's going to be speaking on behalf of everyone. Great. So, take it away.
Your Worship, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Karen Gunton. I'm a parent at Woodend, the Woodend Governing Council chairperson, and I'm a resident of Shido Park. And this is actually one of the things that makes our school unique. Our school is zoned, so 90% of our families and residents, 90% of our families are residents, as you can see. When I started at Woodend, the school population was 560 students. Traffic and parking were big issues even then. This is something we've been working on for a long time. This year we have 640 students. Next year, 670. Add to that picture, 90 students attend the Children's Center next door. Our traffic issues continue to grow with the school and with the area. As you will have heard, Woodend has received a $5 million grant designated for supporting STEM initiatives and increasing capacity, potentially up to the 760 students projected for this area. This means we will be losing some of our precious play space to development. It also means more families, more staff, more people and cars on the roads around our school. And we are worried. Our parents are worried. Our staff is worried. We hear from residents of the neighborhood who are worried. We are afraid for the safety of the children coming to and from our school. The list of concerns that have been reported to us is long. The number one thing that comes up in our community is this: what will it take for things to change? If we wait until a child is hurt or worse, we're too late. This is not something we've been talking about without action. Working with Marion Council, we removed our after-school pickup zone, which was creating a traffic backup. We created supervised area to offer parents more time and flexibility to park and pick up their children. Unfortunately, this has not solved our problems. There's still not enough parking, we still get a great deal of traffic backup, and without a safe pickup zone on the street, we're seeing dangerous behavior in our roads. Double parking, blocking traffic, blocked crossing zones, blocked traffic circles, driving into oncoming traffic, illegal U-turns, the list is endless. What is happening on our roads is dangerous, and we're afraid for the safety of the children. We have been working with the Way to Go Foundation for 3 years to explore safe routes to school to promote walking and riding. With Way to Go and Marion Council, we've installed a koala crossing, and with grant funding, we've installed covered bike sheds. But we also hear from parents who will not allow students to ride and walk to school because they don't have safe crossings on busy streets and intersections in our neighborhood, and because of injuries from falling off bikes and scooters due to uneven footpaths. Plus, the distance to walk from the outer areas of our zone, along with some hilly topography in our area, means that walking is not always an option for our families. We know, in particular with our work from Way to Go, that we need to create a shift in culture. We know that residents are frustrated. We know that parents have been harassed by frustrated residents. We know that supervising staff have been abused by drivers, and we know that drivers are frustrated too. But we also know, based on our efforts so far, that we cannot create that shift in culture or behavior on our own. We are asking to work together in partnership. Marion Council, plus Wood End School, plus the communities of Shido Park and Trot Park, to come up with solutions that extend beyond parking, to come up with solutions that put the safety of the children first. We believe that a safe drop-off and pickup zone must be a priority before someone gets hurt. And we would love to explore creative solutions to our problems that add something of value to our community and for the children in our neighborhood. To focus not on creating parking lots, but rather creating community spaces that can be used by all, especially since we've had to put a fence around our schoolyard, blocking off play space that was once accessible to the community. We believe that in order to create change, real change in culture, in behavior, and in our physical space, the only way forward is for us to work together, to collaborate and communicate as partners, to investigate the best possible solutions for our community. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Perhaps I can start off with questions, Ms. Gunton. I think you'll find enormous sympathy around the table here for the plight, but of course the question is whose responsibility is it to do something about it? And I understand you're pointing out, well, everyone's, I suppose. But have you made these points to the Department for Education and Children's Services and or Child Development? And what has their response been?
Perhaps, Mr. Freeman, you can speak on behalf of the department.
I think it would be fair to say that the Education Department certainly carries a view that they don't... get involved in the traffic management part of it. And we're very aware that there's, always been that dividing line that we see. So when we talk about, and for example, the reason Karen brought up the $5 million was that some people might look at that and say, well, why can't that be used to ameliorate some of the parking issues? And it's a fair question. We have very little say. I had the architects out this afternoon, and they are very determined about what they are and are not able to spend that on. So, yeah, we don't have a lot of ability, to actually get the Education Department to come in and actually deal with what they see as a traffic management issue. Certainly, the photos that we take. The dilemmas that we are faced with when parents come in and explain their own problems that they're having with drop-off and transport of children generally is not once they're on school ground. So I do understand that the Education Department do actually see it as being, well, this is actually not until they get to school, and hence they see the divide.
And another question for Ms Gunton. There was reference to uneven footpaths and unsafe crossings and so on. Have they, to your knowledge, been reported to council, and do you know what the response has been to any complaints of that nature?
Yes, so some of that feedback that we've received has come through. We've done a number of surveys with the help of Way to Go, as well as our own survey run by our governing council. So a lot of what we're hearing back is that anecdotal evidence of the reasons why parents aren't walking and riding. We always encourage, and we share often, for our parents to contact Marion Council, but whether they do or not, you know, we don't know. We do always recommend that, though, especially when we hear some of the bigger stories, you know, about falls or some of the traffic issues and things like that. We always do ask that parents do that. Mm.
And just looking a bit further to the report we're about to deal with and potential solutions, this, maybe it's a legal question as much as anything. I don't know if you can help. But one idea is more or less, you know, cutting into the school ground, so to speak, with a drop-off lane, whatever you want to call it. And I'm sure the governing council appreciates it's council's job to look after footpaths and the roads and the traffic issues that are on them, but obviously not on school property as such. Has there been any exploration of, disposing of part of the school grounds to make part of that public road, which would obviously make it council responsibility in the technical sense? But I'm aware also of the significant issue with Wood End, that it's privately owned investment property on another level. Can you say anything about that?
I might just respond, and Karen might respond too. Wood End Primary School is running at, as you see, the number is 760 students. That is the capacity at the moment. We, if you want to count the number of students on our site, we start next year with 670. We've increased by about 35 to 40 students between this year and next year. We have 90 receptions starting at the beginning of next year. We had 90 started at the beginning of this year. And a lot of those are under four, or are only, sorry, four-year-olds, not under 4 yet. But the issue that we certainly see at the school is that we are very tight on play space. Having been principal at a number of schools, you know, I'm acutely aware that some schools are much better off than others with play space, but certainly Wood End Primary is at a premium, and the building that they're talking about at the moment, which is to replace some transportables and so forth and introduce a STEM facility, will in itself actually take up a small part of that play space that we currently have. So we're very acutely aware that we're not really at liberty to lose too much more. Karen, you might want to say, did you want to add to that?
Yes, I'd also like to add, and I think Kim would as well like to add something. One thing that we've talked about at Governing Council certainly is, you know, exploring how we can use the space and how we can make something like that work. There are a couple of factors, being that we have invested quite heavily in the past few years on natural play spaces around our grounds, and previous to that, a kitchen garden program, which takes place at our grounds. So sometimes what looks like it'll work on paper, when we look at the impact it has on what we've been fundraising for and working to create, it's hard to see how we can make it fit without you know, losing what we worked hard to create. So that's one of the things that we are taking into consideration. Another one is just even the topography of the land. On one side of our oval, we've got sort of this big drainage ditch that we can't really extend into in order to create more play space if we even just were to move, you know, the oval over, let's say, in order to create some parking. So there are some issues just up in Shadow Park because of the hilliness that we have to worry about. And I know that Kim has something to add as well. She's been on our governing council working on this issue in particular for longer than I have been at the school since 2010, which is why I invited her to come along. She has a lot of information about the history of our school and our efforts.
Hello. It's not just our school community that actually uses the oval area as well as the facilities we have in our school. And unfortunately, because the fence has been put up, there isn't access to playgrounds or anything like that anymore. We do have a few clubs that actually hire the ground off of us for football, for cricket, also for, I think there's a fitness that go in there as well. So it's not just our school community, it's actually outside of our school community that are using it as a ground for their sports as well. So if we start to sort of cut into it, they're going to lose grounds, and I know that there's a lot of sporting clubs out there that do use it and are needing that ground for them to facilitate their club's activities.
Thank you. Well, look, we're meant to be limited to three questions. I've had mine. So over to councillors if they have further questions. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. My question really looks at the problem, which seems to be getting worse, and by the sound of it, the more students you have, the worse the parking is. So I'm struggling to work out why the school keeps expanding and making the problem worse. There's plenty of space at Hallett Cove, just over the road, R to 12 East. Hallett Cove South is losing so many students that you can park 10 buses around there if you want, because they're pretty much running at 10% of their capacity. So surely somebody in the department would realise that, hey, we need to bring this school back down to 500, problem goes away, and we move the other students to other schools. Once the school's at capacity, then you don't have to provide those spaces.
And look, I guess if we were, and you saw the map I trust on the screen, which showed where our families are coming from who are bringing their children to our school. If we were a school where we were having people drive some distance, and I know that there are schools where that does happen, people sometimes drive incredible distances when they don't really have to. But in our situation, we're actually zoned. We take people from within the zone. I am required to at least give them consideration. I don't take people from outside of the zone because of the capacity problems that we have at the moment. And I have a waiting list of families at the moment who some live very close to the school, and I guess if somebody said to them, look, go to Hallett Cove South, there would be a considerable ruckus that went with that, I would suggest. But the issue for us is that we are within a very limited zone as it is, and yet we are still at that capacity and that issue. And the school grounds and the buildings and the facilities within that, we work within that. This is about, and I guess it's been a safety issue for quite some time, so even if you had less families, whatever that might be, I suspect you'd still have a safety issue. But it is being compounded, you're correct, by the increase in people.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, the school site is not suitable for the school. Increasing the school numbers is unsuitable. By the sound of it, you're even saying yourself that the provision of space and play space is already too small for those numbers virtually. So I still don't understand why you're forcing more and more students in there. I appreciate the zones. I know how zones work. I know how the department tries to move people around, and I know that when it suits, the department certainly doesn't stick to zones.
As a parent, I'd just like to answer that question, that a lot of people are in our community because it's a great community, because it has a fantastic school, and because this is where they want to raise their children. And as a parent, if you told me that I had to drive over to take my child somewhere else because there was no parking, because we couldn't create some safety around our school, and we're just going to cut off the numbers, I'd be really upset, because we purchased to live in that area because of its reputation, because it's such a great school. That's where our children's friends are. that's the school that they go to. So I think that I can understand what you're saying, but from our perspective, from a governing council perspective, we can't really tell people, you know, don't come to the school because there's not enough room in our roads.
But at the same time, you're actually spoiling that very community by your actions, because there's a lot of unhappy residents that are now suffering more and more. So your very argument, I'll just turn back on you.
Can I just answer that? I've been involved in this for, well, my son's 17, so I've actually been involved in the governing council for 12 years at the school, and it's not just been a problem now. It has been a problem right from the beginning. And, I mean, I moved to that area 20 years ago, and the school was so small, it was lovely, and I thought, great, this is where I want my children to go, and both my children have gone through that school, and I wouldn't want them to go anywhere else. Now, it's not something that we've taken lightly. We really have nutted this out for so long. We have looked at our community, because the people that are at our school are our community. They really are. And the people that are in that community that we feel that within our school are wanting the safety of our children. It is only going to be time where somebody is going to get hurt, if not more. And, I mean, I've been there 20 years. The actual Shadow Park is growing in itself. So if people are building and buying homes in there, then they're going to want a school near them. They're not going to want to go across Lonsdale Highway to take their children to school.
Right. Now, I've got a bit of a speaking order, in order that I've seen them. Councillor Gard, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Pfeiffer, Councillor Bolescu, Councillor Hull. So, Councillor Gard, up to you.
Thank you, Your Worship, and through the Chair, certainly, collectively, we appreciate the problems of Wood End Primary, and it's a problem that's not going to go away all that quickly. Equally, from as I see it, it's a shame to have to cut away open space for car parking. It's sort of like the old song, you know, take away paradise, put up a parking lot.
Councillor exactly Gard, like some of that might be used for the debate later when we come to the motion. Can we focus on the questions, please?
So the question is there a precedent for a local school where you have quite a density of children in immediate proximity for instance, 20-seater bus drops? So that you actually do, like they do in the country, a bus round. I see it as a solution that is probably not as expensive as some of the more physical solutions, and it's also relatively immediate. Is there a precedent for that?
Mr. Freeman?
I'm honestly not sure about whether there's a precedent for it. I just think, and look, I reflect back, and I guess, you know, you might look at me and say, look, a principal, he's just a principal at a school. I lived in Shadow Park myself for many, many years. I still live in the Marion Council area. So, you know, I guess I have a bit of a feeling of the area and the community aspect. And I think, Kim was saying a moment ago, the strength of that area is the community that live there. And it's certainly something that I have seen over decades, and it has certainly grown. But one of the things that hasn't changed is the fact that people value being able to be together, be with their friends, experience the same experiences, certainly in this case go to the same school, play in the same sports teams. Those sorts of things people really value very, very highly. So I think while there are certainly, you know, alternatives that one might canvass, I think that they each have their own dilemmas, which is why, you know, we're actually seeking to work in collaboration with the council on this.
Anything more, Councillor Gard? No, thank you. Councillor Westwood.
Yes, thanks for coming and addressing us. That's very interesting. The map there, is that reasonably precise? Or is that just artistic?
No, that is a precise. That's a good question.
It is?
No, it is precise. That comes from the Way to Go Foundation.
It's just It's just that from that map, if it is reasonably precise, there are quite a few people coming from Hallett Cove and north of Lander Road, and there could be, I suppose, consideration of possibly projecting where you're going to get your students from next year, and trying to, maybe that would be helpful to see if you can redirect them to Hallett Cove. Of course, that's between you and the Education Department.
This map.
could be a point.
Right.
I don't think anyone would expect you to turn anyone away that's already attending, of course.
And that's what's happened. This map is from 2014. Our current map is just actually being put together for us right now.
But sorry to interrupt, but this one looks like people might be driving past Shider Park Primary to get there.
No, the very light, if you look at the light single ones there, they could actually represent one family. One of the things that has happened over time, because remember, before, at one stage, the zone wasn't enacted. So prior to the zone being enacted, people could actually come from further afield. I'm in a situation this year where I've had certainly a number of families come to me and say, look, we're living in the zone, we have a right to come to the school. And unfortunately, my responses had to be, look, we've got our classes absolutely full for next year at the moment. I cannot take another person. Now, that is a sad state of affairs, I have to say. I don't like doing that as a principal. And, you know, if somebody leaves, those people who are within the zone are on a list and will get first priority. We are taking nobody from outside the zone in that. And even the young children coming from the kindergartens, they have to provide evidence to us, which is, you know, a power bill or something of that nature, a council rates in their name, to actually show that they are genuinely in the zone, because we know people sometimes try and rort that system.
And over time, those outer areas we expect are actually going to be off of the map, because once we zoned the school, we obviously cut the kids that were already there. So as those students leave our school, new students from those areas won't actually be able to come in.
Well, that clarifies, thank you.
Yeah. So that map is 3 years old. I'm going to guess that the newer map we're about to get will show less of that red space outside.
Thank you. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. Look, my question is actually more for the administration. I note that I don't think we have any planning staff here tonight. Look, presumably as the school has increased in size and added buildings over the years, presumably there's been development applications to support those developments. And making that assumption, those development applications usually have provisions, especially for larger developments, provisions relating to parking. So I'm just interested, and I'm happy for it to be taken on notice, but I'm just interested to see what actually went through both the administration and DAP, for that matter, assuming they've been to DAP, in relation to the developments. Because parking, I mean, for commercial-type facilities or community-type facilities, parking is always part of a DA. Mm. And the fact that we've got this problem from a school that's grown and grown sequentially tends to indicate to me that something's gone amiss there somewhere along the line.
Well, you know, when the school was set up, in fact, almost at the same time the suburb was set up, it would have been a small school. And most of the school was a shopping centre and hairdresser and so on.
But we have added buildings throughout those years, though, haven't we?
Yes. Look, modified, at least.
Modified is probably a good way to put most of that area. The shopping centre itself was turned into the school, if you like. There's some area there where some buildings were constructed, yes. They did replace transportables that were already there, so, you know, in themselves didn't increase. But I wouldn't personally know all the regulations around when the government actually, who own, you know, the prospect of a school, what they are permitted and not permitted to do. So that part there is probably something that would have to be explored, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there is the car park. Must be, what, about 30 car parks or something? I'm just guessing.
I haven't counted them, but certainly there's car parking for staff, which I have to say is at a premium for us, but, you know, we manage. And in that we have our disabled car parking as well.
Mm. And that's about it, in terms of the on-site car parks at the front of the school. Yep. Okay, Councillor Valescu.
couple of questions. Look, I know the area. I've got a house there. All my neighbours have kids. It's an affordable suburb, and that's where people will go. And yeah, people do are quite friendly, and there is that community spirit, which is good. I was just wondering, what's the capacity of capacity situation for Shido Park Primary? Do any idea with that, or
no? Look, I and you know, it's one of those things that I guess when you're in a school, unless you're actually in it, those are some of the questions you don't actually spend a lot of time working with, so I couldn't give you an accurate answer on that.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing is, if in order to, like, if you could redevelop the school, what would be the ideal model to be able to keep the same numbers of students, because you shouldn't really be penalised for your success in having a popular school and getting that recognition through government. But, like, could you go up and have more space on the campus to have parking and there's safer egress into the site?
It's an interesting question about going up, because I actually asked that of the architects today. And by all accounts, there are a number of regulations around that, particularly for primary schools. And it's not about actually students walking up and down stairs, believe it or not. It's actually about what you carry, in which case they have to install lift arrangements and all of those sort of things as well. So by all accounts, while it can be done, it's the expense that's tied in with it that tends to be prohibitive. And also, the fact that with WHS, you know, we tend to err on the side of caution, and so it adds another cost to those rather than being on a level area. But yeah, it is a question that sometimes does get asked. I guess when you look around, older primary schools in some cases are two-storey, but very few do you find now, unless they've got really good lift systems and that, but they're expensive.
Okay, Councillor Hull.
First of all, thank you for being advocates for your school community. They're very strong communities, as I know. My daughter goes to Glenelg School, which happens to be maybe bigger than your school and two-storey. And the car parking is a nightmare. So I understand. The question I had for you is that back in, I think it was March, we had another deputation come along not wanting us to use the reserve for car parking. So council's in a dilemma. We showed a good intent by exploring that. There was pushback and even a letter from the member for Bright, David Spears, saying, well, he's prepared to take us on. That's pretty much what he said in his closing paragraph. I just wonder whether there has been a meeting of all these entities to sit down and try and nut it out. Because, as you can imagine, council's in a dilemma. Mm-hmm. I really think it might be useful if all parties get together to sit down and talk about it, because David Spears indicates in his letter that he's aware of the car parking issues, and I would expect the local MP would be part of the solution to this. So I'd just like to know what you would give me in terms of advice as a councillor as to what we should do and whether having a meeting of these entities would be useful.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons we wanted to be here tonight to speak, was for that exact reason, because we have been working on this for a long time, doing as much as we can. We've been working, as we said, with Mayor and Council and Way to Go, but we feel that we can't get further without us all working together, because there are so many, you know, different things to consider, that the best solution will come when we work together with our neighbourhood and the council and the school together. So that's exactly what we're hoping for. And that open, that partnership, the real true partnership, which is open to the community to get involved in as well.
And I'd like to just say, we acknowledge the difficulty of this. You know, we're not saying that this is by any means, you know, a single solution type problem. If it was, we would already have, I think, come to it. And so without working together, and certainly without working together as a community, I don't think we'll ever resolve this. So that's our aim. you know, we understand people are going to come with their own opinions and vested interests and all of that sort of thing, which is very natural. What we're seeking is to be able to sit down and try and actually work through this so that we can come to something which is going to create a safer community for all of us. And we think that is, you know, certainly, I mean, from David's point of view, I've read a couple of things that David's written. We haven't had an opportunity to sit down and talk with David. The only conversation I've had with him was when he came with Corey Wingard to a science night that we had, and, you know, we invited them, and, you know, we had a conversation similarly with Jay Weatherall and Randall, and I can't remember his last name. Wilson, mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, so however, are only conversations. They are not sitting down and doing what you suggest, which we think would be certainly part of the way forward.
Can I just add too, at no point have we actually ever wanted to take any green space away from the area. We know that green area for children and people to use is at a premium. We realise that. We don't want to take that away from the community. If anything, we just want to enhance it and have it as a community area as well.
Thank you, Kim. We'll probably be quoting you on that for a long time to come. Councillor Hull.
One last question. In fact, the question's directed to you, Mr. Mayor. Given what you've just heard, would you be happy to maybe facilitate such a meeting, maybe have the Minister for Education involved as well?
I think we need to... that would, you know, of course I'm sympathetic, subject to what Council resolves in a few minutes in relation to the motion. Could be. Councillor Pryor.
Just quickly, I don't know the topography of the area very well. I'm interested in the Curry Court option, which was option 11 in our notes. It's basically create a car park at the end of Curry Court. And the worries that were associated with that were the distance from the school and extra traffic down Curry. There's another court at the top of the oval that looks like Franklin Court. Is there any... was there any discussion of a zone that runs, or a kiss and drop zone that runs through Franklin and out Curry? So you lose half the traffic either way. So the cars that come in Curry or in Franklin either way and then go through the kiss and drop area and then out that street?
I'm not 100% sure if that specific Franklin Court was one of the suggestions, but when we spoke with the mayor and council members who came to governing council, we were certainly talking about suggestions like that one. You know, how could we get creative and create flow of traffic and create a safe kiss and go? The points raised obviously were cost, but also topography, because around that end of the school there is this sort of big drainage ditch that kind of cuts the streets off away from where the oval and the school is. So I think, I mean, I'm no engineer, but just to answer that question, as much as we had a conversation about those sorts of creative solutions and we're certainly keen to explore them, we also recognize that they may not be possible just as far as the reality of the area goes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's where my head's at. I mean, that looks like a viable solution on a flat iPad.
Yeah, exactly, on a flat photo. Yeah.
And we have engineers here somewhere, I think. Our engineers are around the back.
They've been working pretty closely with the school, actually.
They can do drainage. They love drainage.
They love it. Yeah, so we actually...
Do you want a tunnel? We have tunnels.
Beyond the 11 options that were brought to our school, we actually talked about some extra ones and had a bit of brainstorming like that, and I think that's one reason why the partnership is really essential, because together I think we'll come up with a solution that really is suitable for the community, more so than any one of us trying to figure this out on our own, which we've been trying to do for 10 years and haven't gotten where we need to get. So definitely need to work together, I think.
Well, thank you everyone for coming along. Mr. Freeman, Ms. Gunston and Ms. Saad. Gunton, I should
That's
say.
Fine. Thank you.
And Ms. Saad. I'd invite you to take your places back in the gallery, and the very next item is to deal with this issue. Certainly I'm very enthusiastic about any partnership that involves Department of Education funding. We come to page 33 of the agenda, and I'll ask Councillor Byram to proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, it is something, as the members of the school have already stated, that we have been working on, and we have. There's been a lot of work put in by staff and the school and ourselves. And the situation that we're at is that we are looking at a collaboration, a partnership moving forward. In that partnership, we want to see the school, the community, DEX, ourselves, the private owners of the area. All of us need to be involved in this. So it is important that we get discussion happening with state government regarding it, that we work on this as a joint venture. Now, one of the things that, I don't know whether we can just bring that map back up, is that at all possible, please? But this particular area, the northern boundary for the school zone is actually Lander, and it's bound by Lander in the north, the expressway to the south, and Lonsdale on the west. And it is an area that is growing. It's our growth area. It is very much an area that has young children. We still have development. We still have houses being built there. It is very much a growth area. To say that children go over to Hallett Cove, well, if you look at the bottom left section there, they have to drive right up to where Young Street is and out Lander and then back round onto Lonsdale and across to Hallett Cove. It is right inside an area where it's not easy access getting round. There is escarpments through there on the west side, and it's not easy to get across there, although we did have one resident ask for a gondola to go across there to help with access, but that's not feasible in this scenario. So where we are going with this is we recently had the community making comments on us using Hughes Court Reserve as a possible car park. One of the things that that community consultation did for us as a council was to really identify that there was more of a problem here than we thought previously. Prior loop to the north of the school, Bath Bank to the south, and I can't pronounce it probably correctly, Kaya and Curry Street and Edward Beck Drive are all having problems with car parking. We had people in particularly Prior Loop and Bath Bank who have said about time council did something. This has been going on for far too long, and they're complaining about not being able to get out of their driveways.
Councillor
and that
Brown,
came across in the...
Before you close, would you like to move a motion?
Sorry, yes I would. So what we are moving is on the second point of the resolution, we've got notes the preferred solution to the parking issue at Woodend is a kiss and go facility. We don't know where that will be located yet. The third one, that we endorse a detailed investigation and collaboration, is, I would like to put that word in there, of the recommended kiss and go proposal, not necessarily on Edward Beck Drive, but where we are going to be looking. So I'm happy to take Edward Beck Drive out there. But this collaboration needs to be in there. It needs to be done by all parties. We need to be able to move forward.
Councillor, I'll have to ask you for clarification.
Yes.
When you talk about collaboration, I mean, it's not a word that works by itself.
Yes.
So, you know, investigation of the recommended sort of proposal in Appendix 6, that's one thing, but I'm not sure what you mean by collaboration.
Okay. Thank you for your help with the words.
I mean, I can help you out if I understand what you...
So we want to make sure that we do have a... joining together of DEX, ourselves, the school, the community, state government. We all need to be working, and the private owners of the land. This is an unusual situation where we do have a private owner and the land is leased by DEX, so we need to be aware of that as well.
Well, I would suggest that you have a separate motion, perhaps number 5, encourages all stakeholders to work together on achieving a solution.
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Or collaborate.
Well, that's what he was saying, collaborate. Well, the word was not. What do you want?
Sorry, I'm a simple man. I use simple language. But if you want to keep collaborate in there, you could.
You happy with that, Councillor
Martin? Work together to achieve a workable solution is more than enough, thank you.
Yeah, okay, good. So you've moved that, time is up. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, do you wish to speak?
It certainly is an issue that needs attention, as probably do many schools in many states, or all our states probably. But I do encourage the government entities to come and join us, and I hope that we can collaborate and resolve this issue. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor? Oh, okay. Yes, Councillor Hull? Now, that, I think, I'll take as a rhetorical question. Can you explore that in your contribution? Yes, did you want any staff member to comment on that? From what I understand of this report, it hasn't been fully explored. And I mean, I did try and explore it with our speakers tonight, but there wasn't a conclusive answer. Now, the question is whether the mover and seconder are happy with these suggestions, because that's all they are at the moment. I mean, it does add a bit of clarity, so that's good. Funding options and the implications for the owner of the school grounds. I think that could... there's only one owner, yeah. I mean, it's a company, but I think that should cover it. It covers your point.
Lastly, Mr. Mayor, is this a unique position where, is this the only school that's in this situation?
I know it's highly unusual. I can't vouch for the fact that it's unique. Hang on a sec, one thing at a time. I'll come to Councillor Crossland, but we've got a suggestion that the mover and seconder take on board those suggestions into the motion. They're agreeable. Is leave granted for that to occur? There's no objection. Leave is granted. So that becomes the motion. Now it's open for debate. We've had Councillor Hull's questions. Councillor Crossland.
So, Your Worship, I was only answering Councillor Hull's question. Hallett Cove East is also owned by lots of different people. The classrooms are actually homes, which are investment properties.
That's right. It's highly unusual, but yeah. That thank you. There are clearly other cases. Right, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, just a quick question for whether we can include the maintenance implications in the report as well. I don't know whether that would be picked up in the report or not, but that's seemingly going to be pretty important.
I think. Mr. Mifsud is assuring me, and I completely concur, that cost estimates and funding options picks up maintenance as a matter of course, the long-term cost. All right, anyone speaking against the motion? If not, I'll simply... Sorry, Councillor Velisky, I'll simply put the motion then. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. So we can move on to the next item of business. Thank you, and thank you, members of the public, for coming along and showing your passion for your community, whether it be the school or the broader community. We have probably another 2 or 3 hours of meeting ahead of us. You may leave any time you like. You can also stay if you wish. It's the best free theatre in town. But having said that, in a short while we will be going into a confidential session where we have to ask people to leave anyway. But you're welcome to stay subject to that, or you're welcome to leave, and thank you for attending. We turn to page 57 of the agenda. Petition. We just need to note the petition. Looking to the ward councillors, Councillor Pryor moved, Councillor Hull seconded. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. We're on to page 70. Perhaps these two reports, the minutes of the Infrastructure Strategy Committee and the Review and Selection Committee, could be moved en bloc if someone wishes to. You can ask questions about either if you wish. Councillor Pryor is moved. Councillor Pfeiffer seconded. If there aren't any questions, I'll simply put the motion for the confirmation of those two sets of minutes. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now come to a confidential session, a point of order. No, we did actually dispatch it. The playground's gone off to December. Now, we're coming to a block of confidential items. My estimate is that we may well have 2 hours ahead of us on these various matters. So it's going to be rather boring for people if they're waiting for the end, but there's a nice warm foyer out there. In relation to the first item, the suggestion is that everyone except Mr. Scull and Ms. Roberts be excluded, so I'm after someone to move appropriately. Councillor Telfer. Seconded Councillor Westwood. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So others, I'll ask you to leave.
Thank you, Your Worship. This is probably one of the last things you'll hear in regard to Edwardstown Oval from me. Look, Adelaide Seniors Dance Academy subsidy, what we have here is the hall that's currently present at Edwardstown Oval, built about 50 or 60 years ago. It has a sprung timber floor, which is the ideal floor for dancing purposes. We have a dance group in there who've been there for well in excess of 20 years, possibly around 22, 25 years. They are needing to move out and relatively soon, especially now that we have a tender for the site. They'll be exiting around about December. Now, our staff have been working very, very hard to find an alternate arrangement for them. Now, the challenge with this as well is with almost all existing users at the site, they're being welcomed back onto the site, you know, once we actually redevelop. But of course, in our phase of trying to find funds to cut with this particular project, we have not suggested putting in a sprung timber floor into the new facility at Edwardstown Oval. So therefore this dance studio group will be exiting and exiting permanently. We've worked very hard to actually find a solution for them that suits their purposes. It's pretty hard finding a sprung timber floor at the best of times, let alone one that's of sufficient size. So this is the motion to be able to enable them to move out. They have been, in my opinion, significantly undercharged rent for some time, and therefore if they were to immediately pass this on to their consumers, it would fold them. So it is to enable them to move on and enable them to continue operating. And you know, it's the nice little handshake to say so long, good luck. Thank you. So the group... Or the equivalent of what
so members, anybody speaking against the motion or anyone getting questions of staff? Councillor Telfer.
My question is it a community group or is it a sort of little business?
It's definitely not a business.
So just to clarify, the lady that runs it does it for free?
Heavily low rate.
Councillor Westwood.
I'm sorry if I missed it. how many in the group do we know roughly?
Per week or so?
Thank you, that's fine.
Any further questions, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just quickly, I just want to clarify that the subsidy that we're proposing is the difference between what they're paying now, essentially, and what they would be paying at a similar sized hall somewhere else. And this doesn't beg any questions about our fee structure at the moment at all.
Well, I think it comes down to...
Good answer.
Any other questions? If there's no further questions, all those in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The motion is carried. I'll declare the meeting closed at 10:41 p.m.